بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. سورة النبأ chapter 78 verse 12. Allah عز وجل says وَبَنَيْنَا فَوْقَكُمْ سَبَعًا شِدَادًا. This translates to, and we've built above you seven strong heavens. Now, these beautiful heavens above us, for us, we see only one. But it is so perfect, you don't see any cracks in it. It is complete, it is full, and it is strong and mighty. It doesn't fall upon us, it doesn't collapse on us. Allah Azza wa Jal has perfected it. And we know that there are seven heavens. We believe in that. We've never been there. And all what we see is the first heaven. But there are a lot more. And the Prophet told us, alayhi salatu wasalam, that in between each heaven and the other one, there is a distance of 500 years in traveling. Now, whether this is light years, Allahu A'lam. This is something we have no knowledge of. And going into there doesn't increase your iman. It doesn't benefit you. And this is what, as Muslims, we should focus on what benefits us, what increases our iman. But to ask questions about things that have no relationship to us, to our iman, to our conviction, this is not something of interest to a Muslim. For example, we all know the story of the boys, the youth, who went into the cave and they had a dog with them and they stayed there for 309 years. As mentioned in Surah Al-Kahf, the cave. If one says what type of a dog they had, was it a German Shepherd? Was it something else, a greyhound, a hound, or whatever? Was it a Chihuahua? Was it a Doberman? Who cares? Say, no, I have to know. You don't have to know. This doesn't get you closer to Allah Azza wa Jal. So, when you look at the heavens above, you will see wonders, but we take it for granted. How Allah Azza wa Jal managed to keep these stars in this beautiful sky, and nothing comes to us. Nothing collapses. There are no cracks. It's complete. It's full. In the following ayah, Allah says, وَجَعَلْنَا سِرَاجًا وَهَاجًا, and have made therein a shining lamp, that is the sun. Now, Allah says in the previous ayah, وَبَنَيْنَا فَوْقَكُمْ سَبْعًا شِدَادًا, and we have built above you seven strong heavens. We. Who is Allah referring to? First of all, there is no one worthy of being worshipped except Allah. This is a fact. Second of all, Allah Azza wa Jal does not need anyone of His creation. So Allah Azza wa Jal is over His throne. Does Allah need the throne? The throne is dependent on Allah Azza wa Jal in its existence. And Allah Azza wa Jal does not need the throne. Allah Azza wa Jal does not need those who carry the throne from the angels, no matter how mighty and strong they are. Allah does not need Jibreel, Israfil, Mikael, the great leaders of the angels. Allah does not need His servants. He does not need the heavens. He does not need anything, because Allah Azza wa Jal is the one, and nothing else matters. There was Allah and nothing else with Him. Allah is the first without a beginning and the last without an end. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you believe in this, when you read verses in the Quran where Allah says, we did so and so, or we said so and so, it is only Allah that does this. Allah Azza wa Jal created the angels and He orders the angels to do certain things. Not because He needs the angels, but because He is the sovereign, He's the king. And He orders those whom He had created to serve Him as He wills, not because He needs them. He needs no one, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah the Almighty has made therein a shining lamp. This beautiful sun that comes every morning, we take this for granted. Imagine if this sun came few miles closer to earth, what would happen to the inhabitants of earth? It would melt it down. And if it went away a few miles, it would freeze the entire earth. Allah Azza wa Jal is the one who keeps it there, exactly where He wants it, so that the people would benefit from this huge star. It is so hot that people complain where I come from, Saudi Arabia. It is hot, it is humid, it is this, it is that. We don't appreciate Allah's favors upon us. And if you go to places where the sun does not come as often, you would find people complaining for the lack of the sun. Only then we can appreciate. Without the sun, you would not have the ability to cultivate your crops and fruits. Without the sun, there would not be the process of evaporation and rainfall. Without the sun, the germs, the viruses would annihilate life on this planet. But with the grace of Allah Azza wa Jal, the sun is there. You would not be able to sweat and to get all these impurities and the things that would harm your body out without the heat of the sun. Without the sun, you would find corpses as they are. They would not start to dissolve and turn into substances that go and blend with the earth. So there's so many things that we benefit from the sun, and Allah is opening our eyes. Don't you ponder upon this, that we have made therein a shining lamp for you. And then Allah says, the Almighty, وَأَنزَلْنَا مِنَ الْمُعْصِرَاتِ مَاءً فَجَّاجًا, and have sent down from the rainy clouds abundant water. When you look at the water that comes down, it comes like pouring down. I've been into the beautiful Kuala Lumpur in Malaysia a few months ago, and when it rains, man, it rains. It pours down, subhanallah, and they have this beautiful drainage system, unlike any other drainage system in the world. In minutes, it's gone. It's normal, life as usual. And this water is what people live on. It's what they use to farm their lands. It's what they use to drink, to wash themselves. It is what they use in their livelihood. And when Allah Azza wa Jal is angered by people, He withhold, subhanahu wa ta'ala, this blessing and favor for him, and you will have droughts, and you have famine, and this is a test from Allah Azza wa Jal. But when Allah gives water and rainfall and greenery and crops to a people, this doesn't mean that He's pleased with them. It's a test. So Allah Azza wa Jal has created us to test us. And that is why you would find Muslims being tested, and you find disbelievers also being tested as well. And rain can be a blessing, and it can be a torment. It can flood the lands. It can drown people. And subhanallah, Umar ibn Abdul Aziz once was in Hajj, and they heard the sound of thunder. And the people in Hajj, in Arafat, they were terrified. And he was smiling. And when they asked him, why are you smiling when the people are terrified? He said, this is the sign of Allah's mercy upon us. Rain is mercy from Allah Azza wa Jalla, generally speaking. And thunder and lightning accompany this mercy. So he was smiling because this, what was making the people terrified, is a sign of His mercy. then how would it be when Allah Azza wa Jal is angered, and when Allah Azza wa Jal is going to punish people? How is it going to be? Definitely something that is beyond our comprehension. May Allah Azza wa Jal protect us all from His torment and punishment. We have a short break. Stay tuned, and I'll be right back. Assalamu alaikum, and welcome back. So this rain, when it comes down, what happens? Allah Azza wa Jal says that we may produce therewith grain and vegetations. Allah the Almighty says, لِنُخْرِجَ بِهِ حَبًّا وَنَبَاتًا, so that we would produce, extract, plant, grow. حَبًّا, this is in reference to grain. So corn, wheat, barley, all of this is considered to be grain. وَنَبَاتًا, this is vegetation. So anything that is green, the grass, the plants that we use, fruits, vegetables, all of this is considered to be nabata. And Allah Azza wa Jal uses the water so that these things can be produced. Allah the Almighty says, وَجَنَّاتٍ أَلْفَافًا, and gardens of thick growth. A garden, a jannah. See, jannah means a garden. And it also means paradise. In Arabic, paradise is al-firdaus, which is the highest level of the gardens of Eden, Jannatu Adn, the Jannah, and it is the middle part of it. So, on the horizontal level, it is the middle. And on the vertical level, it is the highest. This is known as firdaus, paradise. Now, this paradise is the adobe of those who believe. And Jannah is also a garden. So they share the same name. Though the gardens here are nothing compared to the gardens in paradise. Because anything that is surrounded by a wall is called a garden. So in paradise there is a wall that surrounds it. And your garden is different than mine. I have my own exclusivity, and so would you, inshallah, the Almighty, if we are admitted to paradise. And Allah Azza wa Jal described it as gardens of thick growth, because when you have trees that are so close and so green, to the extent that they are intermingling with one another, and there is no place for the light to come through. This is how you describe their thick growth, that they are all round each other to the extent as if they're all one unit. And because of their proximity to each other and because of their thickness, they are called Jannatin Al-Fafa, as if they're wrapping round each other from palm trees and grapes, etc. Now, these were the favors and blessings of Allah Azza wa Jal upon humanity as an eye-opener. Some of Allah's favors and blessings. Things that people take for granted. So what do we learn from these previous favors and blessings? One, we learn that Allah Azza wa Jal is most wise, is most knowledgeable, is most capable, is most strong, that all of these signs that we see around us are from His own doing. And no one else can do that except Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has made the earth flat. He has made the night to be as dark. He has made the daytime a place to live in. He has made the heavens, and He has made the sun, and He has made this and that. All of these are signs of Allah's greatness, Allah's power, and Allah's wisdom. Also, from going through these beautiful verses of the Quran, we learn that He who is capable of doing all of these things that are so huge and so great, when we look at Allah the Almighty being able to erect such mountains and to flatten such earth, to make the clouds run with pouring rainwater, we believe in the ability of Allah Azza wa Jal to resurrect us. Because most of those who reject the idea of resurrection would say that, how is it possible that such bones that are turned into dust, they can be resurrected again to be a normal human being? Well, Allah Azza wa Jal is showing us that the creation of the heavens and the earth, which is far, far greater than the creation of a human being, He's capable of doing that. Not only that, the one who produced this human being from nothing, it is easier to bring him back to life from creating him from nothing in the beginning. So Allah Azza wa Jal is establishing this aqeedah, this conviction of resurrection, and that when you die, you will not turn into ashes or into dust, and that is it, end of story. There is a sequel, there is a day of judgment, and you will be resurrected, and you will be held accountable for each and everything you had done in this life. And Allah Azza wa Jal also tells us that we will get this knowledge whether we like it or not. If we do it the easy way, we will become Muslims and we will believe. But if we decide not to believe, we will get this knowledge the hard way. And that is when death arrives and then the veil is taken away from our sight and we see things as really as they are. In this case, then we have a big problem. So after Allah Azza wa Jal has mentioned all of these things that open an individual's eyes to the reality of Allah Azza wa Jal being the supreme creator of this universe, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala moves on to ayah number 17, where Allah the Almighty says, إِنَّ يَوْمَ الْفَصْلِ كَانَ مِيقَاتًا. Now if you acknowledge a fact, if you acknowledge the truth, and you know that you will be held accountable, when you know that Allah has created all of this, you should know that you will be held accountable. So Allah says, verily, the day of decision, the day of separation is a fixed time. What is the day of separation or the day of decision? It is the day when the people are segregated into believers and disbelievers. Disbelievers are thrown into hell. Believers are admitted to paradise. So Allah is telling us that this particular day is at a fixed time. Do we know when it is? No, we don't. And don't bother about asking when the day of judgment is, because this is not going to benefit you anymore. What counts is, when is the day of your death? Because this is the day of separation, the day of judgment for you. Whether the day, the actual day of resurrection, is a day from now, a year from now, a gazillion years from now, it doesn't matter to me. What matters is when I die, because this means that I cannot do anything else. And this is the day where I will begin to face accountability until the day of resurrection. So, the day of separation, the day of decision, يَوْمُ الْفَصْلِ, is the day of judgment, the day of reckoning. And it has so many different names. And why is that? Because in Arabic, the more the thing is important, the more names it has. So, for example, hellfire. It is important. It is scary. We have a number of names for it. We have Jahim, we have An-Nar, we have Jahannam. We have so many names for it. When you go to the Prophet ﷺ, he has a number of names. When you go to Allah the Almighty, he has countless names. We know of 99 of them. So the Day of Judgment has a number of days. And it's called Yawmul Fasl, the Day of Separation, or the Day of Decision, where Allah Azza wa Jalla separates between the people of the truth and the people of falsehood, the people of disbelief and the people of belief, the people of aggression and the people of fairness, the people of hell and the people of paradise, etc. And it has, as stated before, a specific timing, a specific date that only Allah the Almighty knows of. This day of resurrection is the day when the trumpet would be blown into, and all those who are dead will be resurrected and stand up as a person, a one man. They will all stand up together at the same time, and they will be all gathered in one plaza, in one arena, in one place. They will be naked. They will be barefooted. They will be uncircumcised. They're all in shock and awe, in fear and terror, anticipating what Allah Azza wa Jal would do to them. Inna yawm al-fasli kana miqata. So, after hearing all of this, you who are in disagreement or asking one another about the message of the Prophet ﷺ, about the Quran, about the Day of Judgment, be aware. There will be a day of reckoning. And Allah Azza wa Jalla would hold each and every one of us accountable for their actions. Allah is telling us, إِنَّ يَوْمَ الْفَصْلِ كَانَ مِقَاتًا. It will come inevitably. It will surely be there. So be careful, because you are definitely going to be there and you're not going to miss it. This is all the time we have. Until we meet next time, في أمان الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.